Here in Jeremiah 17, God is talking to us about our own heart. And this is something that is a good lesson for all of us, because our heart, as we see in this passage, is not trustworthy. Notice verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So the title tonight is The Heart. Let's pray. Lord, use your word tonight to teach us and to grow us, Lord, and just to remind us about our heart and, Lord, where we stand and in the relation to you, and how we must constantly be trusting you and not our own hearts. Lord, I pray that this would guide us and we would leave changed and more like Jesus tonight through the power of your word. We ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we notice there in verse 5, God equates our heart departing from the Lord with man trusting in man. The reason he does that is because we have a tendency, even as Christians, to trust our own heart, to trust our own way, our own emotions, to trust that we know the right way. How many times have you heard people say, I have a peace about it? What do they really mean? Well, often that means it feels good. But can we trust our feelings? And the answer is we need to be very careful. We can trust God always. We can always trust God's word, but we cannot trust our heart. And God tells us there, cursed is the man, or be the man that trusteth in man. All through the scriptures we're warned about trusting man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. In Psalm 118:8. And we could go on. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. It says, if he abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And then he finishes there in John 15:5 by saying, without me, ye can do nothing. But when we do trust ourselves, we're not trusting God. And so when we get up in the morning and we head out into the day without asking for God's guidance, who are we trusting? Ourselves. God. Because when we read verses like this, he that trusteth in man, we immediately think of, well, I shouldn't trust other men, but that includes ourselves. Amen? We fit into that category as well. We cannot trust ourselves, and so we shouldn't go out into the day without first consulting the Lord and asking for his wisdom, asking for his protection, asking for his power, his victory, his guidance. Otherwise, we are heading off in the day in the wrong path. But God says, if we do, our heart is departing from the Lord. If we're trusting in man, our heart is departing from the Lord. And how many times are we warned about this in Scripture? Proverbs 3:5, most of you know it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. So we're not to trust our own heart. Go to Jeremiah 10, verse 23, one of my favorite verses, where God explains that we do not know the way. We cannot trust that we would know the way. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Notice Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. God tells us himself as our creator, as fallen man, it says the way of man is not in himself. We don't even have within us the way that we should go. So we can't trust man. We can't trust ourselves. If we do, God says our heart is departing from the Lord. Now he goes on to say in verse 6 of our passage, he shall be like the heath in the desert, shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. So God here is comparing a person in the desert and a plant trying to grow in the desert with a plant growing by the river that's well watered. And we can all see that contrast. He is saying that contrast equates to a person trusting in man versus a person trusting in God. We'd rather have the dry desert, or we would rather have the well-favored watered? And the question or the answer is obvious, isn't it? So this water that we need, if you go to John 14, Jesus talked about this water. And of course, he equates it to everlasting life, which we received at salvation, of the day that we got saved. Notice John 4:14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So on the one hand, God says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. His heart departeth from the Lord, and he shall be like the heath in the desert. But then he contrasts that back in our passage, Jeremiah 17:7, blessed. So on the one hand, he says cursed. On the other hand, he says blessed. What's the difference? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. So there's the difference. If we trust in man, we're cursed. If we trust in God, we're blessed. Pretty easy choice. And what does he promise? He goes on to promise that he shall, verse 8, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. And that takes us to Psalm 1, which most of you know. The first three verses of Psalm 1 talk about being by God's waters. And the contrast, again, between someone who's cursed or someone who's blessed. Notice Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not on the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look what he says in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What was the key? Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in God's word. He delights in knowing God's way versus man's way. And God says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Blessed be the man that trusteth in the Lord. And how many times are we told in the Bible, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy thoughts unto the Lord. Commit everything unto the Lord. And that is God's promise that if we will, as long as we'll commit it to the Lord, we will be blessed. And he goes on to say in verse 7, and whose hope the Lord is. Those are the same. Trusting God, hoping in God, believing that God is in control, believing that God has the power to do anything in our lives, which he does, but walking forward in that, like we've been talking about on Wednesday nights in Hebrews 11. Going forward in faith. God does have the power. God can use me if I'll trust him and wait on him. And God will. So, it's a pretty simple comparison, isn't it? Cursed, blessed. Trusting man, trusting God. So, he's focusing on the heart tonight. You'll see the word heart's in verse 5, it's in verse 9, it's in verse 10. So, what he then goes on to explain is that those who trust in the Lord, notice verse 8, he shall not see when the heat cometh, her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought. If we're trusting in the Lord and his word, then we won't be affected by the heat. It will still come. Verse 8, we're still going to have heat. And we all know what that heat represents, don't we? Trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. If you've been saved for longer than a year and you've never had a trial, you might not be saved. Because God says, you're going to have them. And like I said this morning, if you look at the book of Job, they're always going to come either through your health, through your job or your money, through your family, or through your friends or your ministry. It's always going to come from one of those four areas. But there's going to be heat. But God says that when that heat comes, what happens? The leaf shall be green. You can handle the heat. Why? Because your roots are down deep and still getting the water. our roots are in Jesus Christ. And if we're trusting in Jesus Christ, when the heat comes, we're ready. But it all comes down to the heart. Verse 9. I know most Christians have this verse memorized. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We all know God is not talking about the literal organ, right? We've got that. Now, talk about the organ. He's talking about the seat of our soul, who we are, our heart. Our hearts can lead us to either trust man or self, or our hearts can lead us to trust God. When we trust man, when we trust our feelings, when we trust experience, we're trusting the wrong thing. There's a lot of Christians out there who are up and down, sideways, as it says in Ephesians 4, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know why? Because they're not trusting in the Lord, they're trusting in man. And they're trusting their feelings. And they go to church and they get pumped up with emotion and experience and excitement, but not with the Word. And it's all just a bunch of fluff. And so when the heat does come, they're not ready. They're not grounded in their faith. And they can't handle it. And that's why they have this up and down Christianity. I'm saved today, I'm lost tomorrow in their minds. And we all know there's a lot of Christians like that. But if you go to Mark 7, Jesus expounded upon this description of our wicked hearts. And God is not just talking to the unsaved. Our hearts are still wicked. Our hearts will still lead us astray because we still have the fallen man. And God says we need to put on the new man and we need to trust Him only. Notice Mark 7:21. Jesus says, from the heart, or from within, out of the heart of men. So again, back to the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that's God's description of our heart. Why do we trust it then? Well, because there's this underlying sin that affects all of us that started with the devil, and it's called pride. Go to Proverbs 28, if you would, verse 26. And here's God's final word on whether or not we can trust our heart. Proverbs 28:26. So pride leads us to self-sufficiency, self-deception. In other words, thinking we're better than we are. Thinking that we don't need God's help. I'm talking subconsciously, typically. But also trusting in our own way. Trusting that we know the way, that we know the answers. It's called pride. And it started with the devil. And we're going to fight against it until the day we leave this earth. Notice Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is what? A fool. That's pretty clear. Doesn't say someone else's heart. His own heart. God says it's untrustworthy. So don't trust it. Don't trust experience. Don't trust feelings. Don't trust your own wisdom. Trust the Lord. God weighs it out. Cursed or blessed? Which is it? He finishes it there in Jeremiah 17:10 by reminding us that He searches the heart. So God's already told us up front, you can't trust your heart, and your heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. Not just wicked, it's desperately wicked. And deceitful above what? All things. That's pretty bad. That's the description of our heart. And then God goes on to finish by saying, I, the Lord, search the heart. So God knows our hearts. Now, we don't know our own hearts, and we don't know each other's hearts. Right? When God sent Samuel to choose David, people were shocked that he chose the short little ruddy guy instead of all of his strapping big brothers. And that's when he said, man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows our hearts. God searches hearts. And he says this over and over, that he knows and tries. If you go to 1 Thessalonians 2, God is constantly watching and trying our hearts, and we shouldn't trust them. We should trust only the Lord. Notice 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which what? Trieth our hearts. God, which trieth our hearts. God sees our hearts. And if you go to Psalm 139, David understood this. And I want you to see what he prayed. Once he had a deep understanding that God knows our hearts, that God tries our hearts, that God reads our hearts, that God doesn't want us to trust our hearts. Look what David prayed here in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. We should all be praying this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Can we pray that and mean it? Because God will answer. It's easier to just say, Lord, I pray that you'll give me this, this, and this, than to say, Lord, please look into my heart and show me anything that shouldn't be there. Because He will. He'll use the mirror of His Word to reflect back anything that needs worked on. And if we're not perfect and walking like Jesus, then there's probably something to be worked on. Because He's not done. He still wants to keep working in our lives. But to actually pray this, Lord, search my heart. Show me. Show me any wickedness so I can deal with it. And David, of course, wrote this after his sin with Bathsheba. Because he had learned how his heart could lead him astray. Led him to murder and adultery. He can do the same to us. So God says, I search the heart. But He also says, we each have a choice to make every day. We can either, as He said in verse 5, be cursed by trusting in man. Or, as He says in verse 7, be blessed by trusting in the Lord. And whatever we do, don't trust the deceitful, wicked heart. In other words, the old man. He's not trustworthy. Let's finish at Ephesians 4 this evening. And just to be reminded tonight, God searches our hearts. Praise God. If we're born again, we're going to heaven. And God's goal is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so God's just going to keep working and chipping away those things that shouldn't be there, little by little. He'll use trials, He'll use different fire, whatever, to slowly but surely make us more like Jesus. Notice Ephesians 4:22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So sandwiched in between putting off the old and putting on the new, God says, I want you to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, there's only one thing on this earth that has that kind of power, and that's this book. So what God is saying is, if we're going to put off the old and put on the new, if we're going to learn to not trust our heart, but to trust the Lord, we need to stay in the book. Because if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And God will give it. And to always be in remembrance that this heart is deceitful. So there's curses or there's blessings, and it really comes down to our choice. Trust man, trust God. The heart. Let's pray.